Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, A.
And I'm B.
Today, we are diving into a major clash between workplace privacy and artificial intelligence. Meta is tracking its own employees to train AI agents, and the internal backlash has been intense.
We're also taking a close look at how the U.S. Patent Office is attempting to figure out who actually invents things when an AI does the heavy lifting. It is a legal gray area that could cost companies billions in intellectual property.
And finally, we have a rather surreal story involving the Vatican, artificial intelligence, and the co-founder of Anthropic standing right next to the Pope.
It's a packed show today. Let's get right into it.
Let's start with what is happening over at Meta. The company has rolled out a program called the Model Capability Initiative, or MCI, and it is designed to record incredibly granular employee computer activity. We're talking about capturing mouse movements, keystrokes, and taking routine screenshots of what workers are doing on their machines.
The stated goal here is to use all of this internal data to train AI agents to perform standard workplace tasks. Essentially, they want to build models that can automate office work by learning exactly how Meta's own employees navigate software, write emails, and manage their daily workflows. But as you can imagine, the privacy implications have sparked a massive internal revolt.
Right. The internal opposition has been fierce. Over 1,500 employees have signed a petition against the MCI tracking software. There were even physical protest flyers posted in the offices, labeling the company an employee data extraction factory. It really gets to this core anxiety. Employees feel like they are being surveilled to train the very artificial intelligence that might eventually replace them.
In response to this backlash, Meta has introduced a concession. Employees can now pause the tracking software for up to 30 minutes to handle personal tasks. But for a lot of workers, a 30-minute pause button feels more like a symbolic gesture than a real privacy safeguard. It leaves the core surveillance infrastructure completely intact for the rest of the workday.
There is a limited group of employees who can request a full opt-out. If you are a remote worker dealing with severe bandwidth issues, because streaming all those screenshots takes a toll, or if you handle highly sensitive materials, you can get an exemption. But for the vast majority of the workforce, this tracking is the new normal. Mark Zuckerberg actually defended the program publicly, stating that observing really smart people is absolutely essential for training the next generation of AI models.
Zuckerberg's defense highlights the aggressive pursuit of AI training data across the industry right now. Companies are running out of high-quality public data to scrape, so they are turning inward. But balancing that pursuit with employee morale and trust is proving to be incredibly difficult. When the end goal of the data collection is explicitly automation, it completely changes the dynamic between employer and employee.
There are also significant legal risks here. The tracking software captures interactions with international colleagues. If a US-based Meta employee is collaborating with someone in Europe, their screen might capture data that falls under cross-border data privacy regulations like the EU's GDPR. It is not just an internal morale issue, it is a massive compliance headache waiting to happen.
Exactly. You have to wonder if a 30-minute pause feature meaningfully addresses those regulatory concerns, or if it just shifts the liability. Either way, Meta is pushing forward, signaling that the data required to build these autonomous office agents is simply too valuable to pass up, regardless of the internal friction it causes.
Moving on to a story that sits right at the intersection of AI and law. As artificial intelligence evolves from being a simple research assistant into what some are calling an innovation engine, it is creating a massive headache for the US patent system. The core question is, how do you handle inventorship when an AI generates the technical solution?
The baseline legal precedent here was firmly established in the 2022 case Thaler versus Vidal. The Federal Circuit affirmed that under the U.S. Patent Act, an inventor must be a natural person. An AI system cannot be listed as an inventor on a patent application, partly because an AI obviously cannot execute the required oath or declaration to the patent office.
And the USPTO just doubled down on this. On November 28th, 2025, they issued updated guidance that rescinded some of their previous, more ambiguous frameworks. They clarified that AI is legally considered a tool, much like a microscope, a centrifuge, or any other piece of lab equipment. The standard for inventorship remains exactly the same, regardless of whether you used AI to get there.
That sounds straightforward on paper, but the practical application is where things get messy. The core legal requirement for inventorship is a concept called conception. The law defines conception as the formation in the mind of the inventor of a definite and permanent idea of the complete and operative invention. It has to happen in a human mind.
Right, which creates a huge vulnerability for companies today. If your engineers are using an advanced AI model to run simulations, and the AI autonomously identifies a novel technical solution or strategy, who actually did the conceiving? If the invention is deemed to be generated entirely by the AI, without sufficient human conception, it might be entirely ineligible for patent protection.
This leaves incredibly valuable intellectual property totally unprotected. What we are seeing in practice is a sort of don't ask, don't tell approach. Humans are claiming credit for AI-generated work to ensure the patent goes through. But that effectively bypasses the spirit of the Thaler versus Vidal ruling. And if a competitor uncovers during litigation that an AI actually generated the core idea, it could invalidate the patent.
It really forces companies to rethink how they document their R&D processes. They have to meticulously track the human element at every stage. They need to prove that a human engineer directed the AI, interpreted the results, and formed that definite and permanent idea in their own mind. If they just type a prompt and the AI spits out a finished schematic, they might be out of luck.
It's a fascinating tension. If AI truly becomes capable of autonomous innovation, this legal requirement for human conception might actually hinder progress by leaving massive technological breakthroughs completely unpatentable. The USPTO is trying to treat frontier AI like a sophisticated calculator, but the industry knows it is doing much more heavy lifting than that.
Our final deep dive today takes us to the Vatican. Pope Leo XIV has just released a massive 200-page encyclical titled Magnifica Humanitas, dated May 25th, 2026. It is a sweeping warning against the dangers of artificial intelligence and a call for robust global regulation. And it represents a major escalation in how the church is engaging with the tech industry.
The language in this document is incredibly striking. The Pope characterizes AI as a modern beast that threatens to consume humanity. He warns that we are heading toward a soulless or physically depleted world, driven by the excessive resource consumption required to train and run these massive frontier models.
He also heavily criticizes the concentration of AI power in the hands of a few private entities. The encyclical argues that AI could become an invisible infrastructure that imposes a very specific corporate moral vision on the entirety of society. It's a much more theological and existential framing than the usual secular arguments we hear about job displacement or surveillance.
But the most fascinating and controversial part of this story is what happened during the launch of the document. Chris Ola, the co-founder of Anthropic, actually appeared alongside the Pope at the Vatican for the release. Having a leader of one of the top AI labs standing next to the Pope as he denounces the AI beast is a wild visual.
It really is, and it drew immediate criticism. Anthropic is currently locked in a legal battle with the U.S. government over the military use of its AI models. So some critics view Ola's presence as the Vatican inadvertently endorsing a company that is deeply entangled in the exact kind of high-stakes AI deployment the encyclical is warning against.
It raises the question of whether this public alignment undermines the Pope's message of skepticism. Is the Vatican being naive about who they are partnering with, or is this a calculated, pragmatic step? They might believe that the only way to meaningfully influence the trajectory of AI development and inject their moral framework into these systems is to engage directly with the people building them.
It certainly positions the church as a moral authority, trying to operate inside the room rather than just shouting from the outside. But calling the technology a beast that consumes humanity while sharing a stage with its creators is a very difficult tightrope to walk. It will be interesting to see if this encyclical actually influences global regulatory frameworks, or if it just remains a philosophical statement.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. What do we have first?
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has suspended the state's data center sales tax exemption after the costs hit $1.6 billion, which is an 11-time increase over their original $142 million projection.
They are still seeing massive investments, like QTS data centers planning a $10 billion campus in Van Wert, but hitting the brakes on that tax incentive is a major reality check for how expensive subsidizing this hyperscale AI growth has become.
ADOT post titled "Gmail Thinks I'm Stupid, So I Left" went absolutely viral on Hacker News this week, with the author abandoning the service over intrusive features like pre-written AI replies and persistent "help me write" prompts.
It perfectly captures this growing power user fatigue. People just want a fast, clean email client, not a workspace that constantly interrupts their workflow to suggest an AI-generated summary they didn't ask for.
A. Over on the Claude Code GitHub, users are reporting frustration that they cannot switch models mid-conversation in co-work mode, meaning long-running sessions are permanently locked to older models like Opus 4.7.
The CLI version actually lets you do it, though it warns you that it breaks the prompt cache. Anthropic seems to have locked it down in the desktop app to manage token costs, but forcing users to abandon their project history just to use the new 4.8 model is causing a lot of friction.
Sticking with Claude Cowork, another open issue is requesting a manual slash compact command, because right now, context compaction only happens automatically, often interrupting the agent mid-task.
Relying purely on the system to decide when to summarize memory is too unpredictable for complex workflows. Developers want to trigger that compaction themselves at natural breakpoints to ensure the agent maintains an accurate state.
A security researcher discovered that the Creative Sound Blaster Katana V2X soundbar can be exploited via Bluetooth to inject malicious keystrokes into your PC from up to 15 meters away.
It acts as a wireless rubber ducky attack because the Bluetooth lacks authentication and the firmware isn't cryptographically signed. And incredibly, Creative reportedly told researchers they do not consider this a cybersecurity risk.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you on the next one.